Turn in your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22. If you're following along in our Sunday school notes, we're on the very bottom point of the back of the first page as we begin looking at Exodus chapter 22 here this morning. And we begin by looking at the point of protecting personal property. I remind you that Moses is at the top of the mount. He's receiving instruction from the Lord. We talked about the Ten Commandments. We talked about the names and the usages and such in our last section of our notes. And now we're going to look a little bit more directly at these commandments and their purposes. Again, we didn't touch chapter 22 last Sunday, so I'll go ahead and read through that here this morning, as the bulk of this morning and probably part of next Sunday, we'll be looking at chapter 22 in Exodus. Chapter 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution if he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Verse 4, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns so that the stacks of corn or standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of a man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. Verse 8, if the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges, to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. And whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he that hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. Verse 16, and if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the 8th day thou shalt give it to me. Verse 31, and ye shall be holy men unto me, neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field, ye shall cast it to the dogs. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once more for leading us through this great book of redemption, this great book of Exodus. We thank you for the opened understanding that you have given those who have been following along in this study, either through the audio or here in person. I pray, Lord, that you make your word accessible to those most desperately in need of it. That you'd equip us and strengthen us here today. That even the driest reading of your word would come as a comfort and a blessing to those so desperately seeking your face. Enable us today, Father, to desperately seek after your face. Enable us today to realize the preciousness of the grace that you have shown us. Be with our main service. Be with those who are still traveling to be with us. Be with those who are unable to be with us for whatever the reason. Help us to repent, Father, if we've not put you first. And lead us and guide us and direct us, Father, to be more bold and less ashamed of the gospel that you bled and died for. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, here we start with the point, protecting personal property. Here Moses dealt with several kinds of thievery, or is being told how to deal with several kinds of thievery. And he stated once again that the thief must make compensation to those who are wronged. But note that God holds sacred even the life of a thief who is breaking into a house. Life is, from the very beginning, been absolutely most precious to God. Why would that be? Because that was his first gift to each and every one of us. Those of the elect receive a second gift, which is known as everlasting life. All the more precious, for it cannot be earned, it cannot be purchased, it cannot be transferred, it cannot be left in a will, it cannot be given away, but it can only come through the Son by the Father. If he breaks in at night, again looking at the thief, if he breaks in at night and is slain, the slayer is not charged. But if his crime is in the daytime, when the owner could call for help or even recognize the intruder and accuse him later, then the slayer is guilty of homicide. This is according to verse 3 there. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution. If he having nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. That's not a popular thought there. We are to protect our own, but the Lord has made it very clear to the Israelites, very clear if you painfully read through these chapters, especially aloud, for every circumstance in which something would be taken, or something would be harmed, or something would be broken, or something would come up missing, he even puts in here in chapter 22 that if you are housing or storing something for a brother and it comes up missing, how to handle that. When Moses was led to have judges beneath him to help decipher these things and make decisions on these things, God did not leave any blanks. He did not leave any matters of gray, shades of gray, that could be misinterpreted. God paid it all. God planned it all, and he provided for all. Verse 6, we see the phrase catching thorns, thorny bushes. Well, let's read verse 6 first. If fire break out and catching thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. When it's talking about being caught up in the thorns, thorny bushes would have been used at that point to mark hedges or property boundaries. Yes, property boundaries were just as precious to them as they are to us today. So when it talks about fire being caught in the thorns, it's talking literally about this fire spreading beyond the natural boundaries of their property or what they would have been responsible for. Moses also deals with property damage caused by animals who eat in a field other than their masters, there in verse 5. Or by uncontrolled fire, as we just mentioned in verse 6. And with loss of property entrusted to others, verses 7 through 15 that I just spoke of. From these specific instances, the judges could derive principles that would help them decide cases that Moses did not explain in detail. In verses 16 through 31, the latter half of this chapter, we look at the respecting of humanity. My Bible has a little subheading here referring to the law, the judgments, crimes against humanity. It's not talking about the vile board game, card game that's out there these days, but actual crimes against humanity and how the nation of Israel were to handle them. This series of miscellaneous laws reveals God's concern for humanity and His desire that people not be exploited. I remind you, the most precious commodity given to man was life itself. And He's telling them right here how to handle it, how to protect it. It includes in verses 16 through 17, virgins. Verse 21, foreigners in the land. Verse 22 through 24, widows. And verses 25 through 27, the poor. God promises to hear the cries of those who are wronged and defend the poor and oppressed. Bringing this into present day, as I mentioned last Sunday, this is probably the driest part of our study through Exodus. We must understand that if these four different things here are of such great concern to God that He would speak to Moses about it on Mount Horeb, then it should be a great concern to the churches today. The poor, the widows, the virgins, foreigners in the land. If this isn't a concern of every local visible church, then shame on us. Shame on us as members for not bringing it forth as a matter of importance, of great concern. He says here in verse 18, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Witches and wizards were not permitted to live because they were in league with the demonic powers that operated in the godless religions of the nations around Israel. And again, verse 18 is where it says a witch should not live. Modern occult practices are an invitation for Satan to go to work and destroy lives even today. Sadly, modern occult practices at the beginning of this millennia, and the beginning of what we would call AD, but I guess the world calls now BCE, or this era, this 2019, this number that we number our years by. At the beginning of this, modern occult practices were just as dangerous because these churches that were spilling out of Rome were pulling these things into their practices and pulling these things in and adopting or compromising these things into their own church practice so that they could include other people who were not willing to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just one way in which these occult practices were a danger. And we've talked about them at great length in the past. I won't go into them a great deal now. But understand that Saturnalia and these other things where the sun was worshipped or Mary is worshipped or anything other than God Himself are worshipped, most likely, and it can be proven, started as a pagan or an occult practice. How do you know that, Pastor? Because God says you'll worship none but Me. God says no idol shall stand before Me. God says I am all that you will ever need. And if He is your master, you'll desire none else. Understand that our basic education of the Bible needs to be such that we realize that there is nothing required of us for us to be saved. The repentant spirit that we have is given to us. It cannot be adopted. It cannot be mimicked. It cannot be copied. There is the general call as the saved individual, not necessarily a pastor, gives the gospel. And then there is the effectual call where a repentant spirit is given to the believer. Praise God. I cannot make a tract that tells you how to act like a repentant soldier. And even the best actors in the world, at one point or another, feel like they're alone and capable of being their true selves. But there is nothing beyond God's sight. Leviticus 19:31 says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Leviticus 20, verse 27, "A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them." Harry Potter makes a fun story, no doubt. But the Bible says Harry Potter would need to be stoned. Harry Potter would need to be killed. Witches and wizards have no place in God's kingdom, and they will not be there. Remember Simon the sorcerer, as we've looked in our discipleship study, and how he heard the gospel and he realized there's something to it. And then it wasn't too long after he says, "Show me how to do those tricks. Show me how to do that magic. Show me how to do this brand, this version of witchcraft, of wizardry." And the apostles had to set him straight. The apostles had to make clear to him that there is only one God. There is only one power, and that is God's word. Let us cling to nothing else. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. This would have been an occult practice at the time. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Sounds like such an old school occult practice, doesn't it? There was a meme shared on Facebook recently, an illustration of these who were passing their sons or daughters through the fire. They would have these statues of these little g gods, these false idols, and they'd be burning red hot, and they'd put their child up there to pass them through the fire, and wouldn't you know it, they wouldn't make it. But these aren't old occult practices. Abortion is today's version of a son or daughter passing through this fire. The state of Virginia, and I believe it's been beaten, it's been turned down, praise the Lord, just tried to pass a bill that said that abortion could happen even after birth. Can you imagine? 9 months of birth pains, and the baby comes out and you say, I wanted blue eyes. That one can go. Or, heaven forbid, this one has a handicap. This one's deaf. This one's got a mental incapacity. That one can go. I ordered a perfect child. I ordered a brown hair, brown-eyed, perfect child. Or, I wanted a son and not a daughter. That one can go. Pastor, you're wearing this one out. You're laying this on thick. Christians, we need to pray for our nation. While we have a president that stands up, praise God, and discusses the image in which we were made from, which is God's holy image, he will not be president forever. And Vice President Pence will not be vice president forever. And we will not always be as fortunate to have Christians in the White House, in Congress, or in the Senate. Christians, now is the time for us to stand up and pray that this new generation would bring about men, actual men of conviction, who will stand up for God's word. Because we might be less than one generation away from this great civil war that we've talked about. We might be less than one generation away from Christians being persecuted and chased out of this country. That couldn't happen. I urge you to read Trail of the Blood. Not only could it happen, it has happened. Countless times. It has not only happened by the hands of those who claim to be atheists or agnostics or ignoramuses. It's happened at the hand of other denominations that claim that theirs is the only true way. This wonderful thing about the Cuba mission that we've been praying for and that we've been talking about is that this is a country that's basically been locked down by the Roman Catholic Church in many ways. My wife and I were talking about the amount of deaf individuals that are in Pastor Obi's church. That's the pastor in Cuba, if I haven't mentioned that. I didn't know. I said, well, why do they have such a large deaf populace? And that's because Catholicism, outside of mainstream media filters, outside of what we would want to think of the Catholic Church, says those are imperfect children. That they don't belong in God's kingdom. But we recognize by God's word that they were made by the same God that we were. They were made for a purpose. A very distinct purpose. And because man finds something unlovable, passes no judgment towards how God feels about God's creation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This one Baptist church is so blessed to have so many coming in the door that look for hope, that look for peace, that look for an unconditional love. Do you come here today looking for the same thing? You'll find nothing else. You'll find nothing else except unconditional love, hope, grace and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come into this house, into this establishment, and you're looking for fame, you're looking for prosperity, you're looking for wealth, you're looking for someone to miraculously cure your cancer, or for someone to give you just the right track to save your children, then you're on the wrong path. Lost individuals need to be brought to God's house. Lost individuals needed to receive the gospel right then and there. And Brother Jerry finds out that someone is lost, he shouldn't say, well, you should come to our church. He should say, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about who I was and who the Lord Jesus changed me to be. Let me tell you more about the old rugged cross. Let me tell you more about effectual change. You can't come here seeking a great speaker. Everyone here knows you don't have a great speaker. You can't come here looking for charitable handouts, because anything we could give you from the cupboards will not sustain you. But from this book, Everlasting Life. More than everlasting life, a well springing forth from the individual believer of everlasting life. That means when a lost soul comes into Isaac's life or Jerry's life or any of the other saved individuals in this church, they are an everlasting well of hope and love and grace. And they aren't to tell them to wait until Sunday. They aren't to tell them you have to call our pastor. They are to give them the good news they've been commissioned with from the very beginning. May the Lord help us to recognize we are charged to redeem this time. Not Sundays only, not Wednesday evenings only, not at prayer time before bed only, but this time, every moment, every opportunity given to share the gospel, to stop what we're doing and pray for a lost soul, is the exact time in which we've been called to redeem. Continuing on, looking at these occult practices, we see in verse 19, God condemns sexual intercourse with animals. I doubt that that comes as a large surprise to anyone, but these were also occult practices during that time. Leviticus 20, verses 15 through 16, "And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay that beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Deuteronomy 27:21, "Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast," and all the people shall say, "Amen." Not only were these practices a part of the heathen worship of idols, but they debased human sexuality, which is a precious gift from God. Our desire for one another, husbands and wives, is a holy desire given unto us by God. The reason that the judgment coming down here is so severe, not only for the human, but for the animal, is because it defiles God's creation. It defiles that other element of creation known as purpose. We have no purpose to be fruitful and multiply with cats and dogs and horses or any other animal on this planet. The people were to respect their rulers and refrain from cursing them, even as they would refrain from cursing God. For a moment, I just want to go on another tangent here. That's not just President Trump, but also President Obama. 5 years ago, I caught myself countless times saying, "Obama this, Obama that." Not taking his name in vain, but not showing the respect for the title he'd been granted by God. You can be Republican, you can be Democrat, you can be independent, but we are called to respect the rulers who are placed above us because they are placed there, allowed to be there, by God Himself. I don't run around laying claim and demand that folks call me pastor all the time. But if someone has been placed in charge of you in any capacity, you must respect the authority that put them there. And that's God Himself. According to Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. If we curse a leader, we are in danger of cursing the God who established the authority of human government. Verse 29 through 31, it gets to the heart of obeying the law. It says, "Put God first in your life and gladly obey what He says." This was later quoted by our Savior in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We know this as preeminence, yet many of us fail, your pastor included. We fail because we put our hope or our trust or our belief, sometimes even our faith, in the things of this world, in the things we'd be excited to see come to pass. And there's a distinguishment we can make there that I would enjoy seeing the Broncos win another Super Bowl. But my life does not hang in the balance of them getting there. And that's a silly example, I know, but you can fill in the blanks. Your job is not there to provide fulfillment. Your wife might not even be there at times to provide fulfillment. God, in his express purpose, sent his Son that we would experience his joy to the full. That we would enjoy things of this life. Enjoy meals in the midst of a Heraclodon. But that we would experience his joy. And if we put our faith in anything else, it is as sinking sand. For Jesus Christ is the only sure foundation upon which we should put our hope and faith. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. And that knowing the time that now is nigh, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. Excuse me. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in cambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Take this verse, or these verses out of Romans 13, and put them into the context of your life. Would Jesus Christ have that emphasis that you have on this such and such, or that thing, or that person? Is that how the Lord Jesus would have designed your life to be? That your excitement or your brokenheartedness would be dependent on another individual, a thing, whether it be money or the success of a sports team, or whether it would even be, hear this now, your pastor. I am but a man on a journey very similar to yours to discover the truth, to share the gospel, and to redeem the time. But your faith cannot be in me. Your faith cannot be in me. It has to be in God. There's one sure foundation. The gates of hell would not stand against Christ's church, not because of Peter, but because of Christ. Let us recognize that if Peter were to have died on that cross and the crucifixion that we've spent weeks looking at, he would have been another broken body, tossed in a heap of other broken bodies who had died of the same fate. We would not be redeemed by anything less than 100% man and 100% God, and he only came once, the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize that your pastor has been put where he's been put to stir you up, to challenge you at times, to feed the flock, but not to take on the faith that you should be putting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to be disappointed in a man. Real easy to be disappointed in a man. But if you have an understanding of who Jesus Christ is, and you seek him first, you will not be disappointed. We'll stop there and start up with chapter 23 next Sunday.